You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
If I look back 30 years from now and we're sitting here going, hey, wait, we were part in the NHL, was part of this massive movement to reimagine downtown to something that we all can be proud of. And that's what this is about. And so I'll admit that wasn't my first strategy, but I try to be pretty open. And, you know, we have incredible people running this state. And so we're all gonna do it together. It's not gonna be easy, but we do big things and that's what Utah's about. And you can kind of see the vision. And I hope we get to a point where we can roll that out to everyone.
There's Ryan Smith right there. Welcome on back. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hockey is coming to town. They're going to refit Delta Center to make it a great hockey/basketball arena, and everybody is into it. At least that was my experience over the weekend, Ben. I don't know if you went hermit on it and didn't go outside or if you interacted with folks, but like, people didn't even know what line of work I was in, and they'd come up to me and talk about hockey just because I was wearing a hockey hat. It's not even like a Coyotes hat.
We have some connections to, if you don't know her name, Ashley Reinhart, who has maybe, I'm going to say this for her, she doesn't feel this way, I'm sure, but she's maybe the hardest job in the state of Utah. She's in charge of all the scheduling for all the Jazz stuff.
All their travel, everything.
Travel, booking hotels, whatever. Everything you have to do. I have to imagine it's maybe the most thankless job there is on the planet.
And she might be the coolest person on the planet.
She
Ashley
rules.
Is so rad. Anyway.
So our kids go to school together, and then they're also in a dance thing together. So I ran into her on Saturday morning.
Nice.
And, yeah, that was all we talked about. It was like, you know, well, how does this change everything on your plate? And, I don't think she has to schedule the hockey team, but maybe she does. I don't know how that's all going to work. But, yeah, absolutely. Hockey is in the air. It's around. People want to talk about it. People are excited about it. And that's only going to build. This ticket next year is going to be borderline impossible to get.
Man, even if they dumped all that in Ashley's lap, she's the type of person to be like, all right,
I'll figure it out.
I got it.
Yeah, she'll
want to
get
on the phone.
Boss. That's a boss. well, Ryan said, you know, this over 22,000 seats that they have, who's it, Chris Barney, who handles
yeah.
that stuff. Chris had the update at the presser, but Ryan said, yeah, we're going to have to do some of them are going to have to be obstructed seats. Some of them are going to have to be partial, because you can't sell every seat in the arena to season ticket holders. You need to build. Like, you need to let people experience it so they grow and they get the bug, and that's yeah. the best way to sell hockey is to be there. So, speaking of which, he's on Armpit Show right now.
He is on Armpit Show right now.
But looks like he's in Salt Lake, too, or probably Provo. Is that the BYU campus? I don't know where he lives.
That looks like an office of some sort, Ben. I don't think that's his house.
You don't think he has a parking lot?
No, I'm guessing he doesn't have a parking lot and another commercial building right in the background.
He might be teaching his BYU class. He's a professor at a BYU class. Anyways, you're going to have to find a way to get single game tickets. You can't do all 22,000 seats. So, there's not 22,000 seats to be sold. There's 14, and he hopes to get that up to 17 pretty quickly.
Well, speaking of having faith in people, if Barney's involved, they'll figure that out.
The Jazz will figure it all out. The Jazz, Ryan Smith.
Three. By the way, I met three specific independent families at soccer that had put down the down payment on the max four seats.
Yep.
Three independent separate people who were that motivated already.
And some people will back out. Some people will decide. You know, I think it was only $100 to do a deposit.
Yeah. It won't be that number. But
people will back out. But still, it's going to be the show. It's going to be the place to be. It's going to be what you're going to see all over your Instagram page. Jake, I know you don't have one, but it's going to be the place to post next year. And people are going to fall in love with the players. I've talked about these players a lot. Young kids who are going to totally rally around Salt Lake City, who don't know Arizona all that well. There's some exceptions, obviously, but these are 21-year-old, 22-year-old kids who are being welcomed to a town where they're going to be the biggest athletes in town next year. Like, the Jazz are still always going to be the Jazz. Lowry is quiet. If these kids have personality and come out and perform well, they're going to take this town by storm. They absolutely will. And they're going to become superstars in the state. They're going to be beloved. And they're going to fall in love with the state itself. And I think that's going to be a big push going forward. It's going to be what Utah is about for the next year. I have no doubt about that. Because you're, like you said, everyone already wants to talk about it. People are excited about it. Your wife and your kids are trying to figure out hockey. I was talking about I was talking about it with my kids all weekend. They were wanting to know the rules. What was going on? How does it work? What does the goalie do? All of these things that are going to be fun parts to learn. I don't know what the goalie does.
I'm going to watch Mystery Alaska this week. You ever seen that movie?
I haven't.
With Russell Crowe?
No.
You should. Surprisingly good. I mean, not like going to win an Oscar good, but surprisingly good. And the cast is randomly awesome. Burt Reynolds is in it. I know you're a big Burt guy.
Huge Burt guy.
Little Richard makes a cameo. Who's not a Little Richard fan? What is the best hockey movie, though? Everybody goes to what? Strange Brew?
Miracle? No, Slapshot.
Slapshot. Yeah. Strange Brew is also a Canadian movie, but I was aiming for Slapshot.
Underrated? Happy Gilmore? Technically a hockey movie?
No, that's a golf movie.
I mean, there is a hockey scene in it.
Yeah,
at least
right.
One.
But, you know, it's like calling that silly figure skating movie a hockey movie. What am I talking about?
Blades of Glory?
No, not Blades of Glory. The one, the hockey guy who gets hurt and then becomes a figure skater and gets paired with a temperamental figure skater that's like the best in the world. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
The Cutting Edge?
Cutting Edge.
Is
that
it?
I think you're right.
Like, that's not a hockey movie.
Yep.
The Mighty Ducks you haven't mentioned?
I said Slapshot. That's the best one.
You don't like Mighty Ducks?
I haven't seen it in a very long time.
Now, listen, the sequels, I think, jumped the shark. But the original Mighty Duck, that's a good movie. Emilio. Man gets a DUI, put him around kids immediately.
How can we fix this guy? It's kind of the opposite of Bad News Bears, where they were like, lean into his drinking. Make that the character.
Make that the thing, yeah. Make him slugging.
Have the kids drink.
As well. That is a great scene, though, at the end of Bad News Bears, when they pop open his cooler of beer and start spraying everybody.
Pouring it all over each other.
It's a great message.
Very funny. Don't do that, kids.
Are we missing anything?
Oh, I'm sure there's lots of hockey. I mean, Wayne Gretzky has, like, there's a movie called Waking Up Wally, right? That's about Wayne Gretzky's dad.
Really?
Didn't Wayne Gretzky's dad, I don't know if he had dementia or what. I don't know the whole story, but, like, forgot his son's career? Son's the greatest player of all time?
Oh, man, dementia's a sad road.
Very, yeah.
Yeah, that's rough. That's not something I want to watch a movie about.
Yeah, something like that.
Why do you like all the most downer movies?
I just know that that's a part of the story.
Sarah, I tell you the story about how my wife and I, right after we had our second baby, we had a chance to have like an afternoon date kind of thing. And all we wanted to do was just stay in and watch a movie and do some popcorn and that sort of thing. And I was like, Ben, you're a movie guy. What should we watch? And you were like, oh, you should watch that fine Adam Sandler vehicle. What was it even called?
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. It's like, all right, we go home, start watching Uncut Gems, watch that thing. I was like, That was not what I was looking for.
It's an experience. It's not a kick your feet up.
Well, downer movie I've ever seen in my entire life, and just a bundle full of anxiety to boot.
Walter Gretzky had
that's not what I wanted.
He had a brain aneurysm and lost his short-term memory, so he couldn't remember what his son was doing.
Yikes.
Which is crazy.
Lesson learned. Google it before you take Ben's
Ben loves
word.
Gruesome movies. Actually, Uncut Gems isn't that gruesome, but
last seen it. Spoiler alert.
Definitely a downer. Ben's like, you love it. Kevin Garnett's in it.
He's funny in it.
That is not the highlight of the movie.
No.
That is not it.
Not even a little bit.
That is not it. It'd be like calling that a basketball movie.
Okay.
Like, that's not a basketball movie.
No, it's not. It's not. Kevin Garnett is in it.
Right. Or that Amy Schumer movie, calling that a basketball movie just because LeBron's in it.
What was that called? Heartbreaker or something.
And he was kind of funny in that too. Not a basketball movie.
No.
Sorry, I got us derailed. Apologies. But yes, I'm going to watch Mystery Alaska this week.
I will be really curious how what our hockey fandom looks like. I know what Jazz fandom looks like.
Oh, I think it's going to be... So here's an interesting conversation, Ben, that I kind of saw develop. Like, what is going to take a bite out of what? And I actually don't think... I wonder, there's going to be a whole new set of fans, meaning one of the families I saw this weekend or one of the people that came up and talked to me was basically some bearded hippie who was so excited about hockey coming to town. I don't think that guy knows who the Utah Jazz are.
Sure.
You know what I mean? There's a different, I think there will be overlap between the NHL and the Utah Jazz because I do think there's overlap between college football and the Jazz, for instance. You know? Like, I think there's less overlap between Major League Soccer and the Jazz than there is against college football and the Jazz, if that makes any sense. Anyway, it's Absolutely. A moving scale. I think the NHL and the NBA will overlap, but not as much as people think, I would guess.
It's going to be a hybrid of Jazz MLS fans. That's what I think. And it's not going to take a bite out of them, but everyone knows their, like, weird soccer friend who knows everything about soccer. And you're like, I didn't know you like sports. And they're like, oh, yeah, I wake up at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning to watch the EPL. And you're like, what? You are going to get those diehard fans. The way MLS has those like cult fans that will follow it regardless, know every player on every MLS team and then every English Premier League team, et cetera, that know every hockey player or every soccer player, you're going to get a section of those fans as well that are like, you don't know hockey the way I know hockey. This has been my identity forever. We're going to get a lot of those, but it is so mainstream, and this is going to sound like an insult. It's not. MLS is still a little niche, a little bit. Now, everyone's gone to games. It's fun, but it's like a niche thing to the point where you can hide the games on Apple TV and those people will still be happy because they're happy to pay whatever it costs to get the MLS games. NHL, you're not going to do that. You couldn't do that. But you're going to get those kind of niche fans, too, that are like, no, I've always been a hockey person.
Right. Well, the NHL kind of tried that and failed, but that's maybe a different discussion because they're back on ESPN. Yep. So that whole move was not a good one. How about this, Ben? As you know, talking about demos, I bet you the NHL here in town will have a lot of the transplants, whereas the Jazz are probably more homegrown. Does that make any sense? Like, we get a lot of people moving here from hockey markets who are going to be all on board. I've got a really good friend who's a Buffalo Sabres fan, and I don't think he's going to renounce his fandom. But he's going to jump on board in Salt Lake because he's going to go to the games and his girls are going to go to the games and that's going to kind of be a thing, right? So I think there's a lot of that. Like, oh, I moved here from Minneapolis in 2002 and this is so cool. I was a big North Stars fan and now I'm going to jump on board here. I bet there's a lot of that.
I think you're 100% right. I think it's going to be a slightly or maybe less than slightly, meaning more than slightly, rowdy crowd for hockey than there is basketball.
Now, that depends on pricing.
Okay, that's fair.
I think. Because if you're going to make it a corporate event, then it's not going to have that feel. If you let in the blue-collar hockey fan...
Which, by the way, I think is the lifeblood of that league.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It seems sports is going away from that in general. It'll be interesting to see if hockey's going away from it as much as other leagues are. The NBA certainly is. So, I don't know. I think that's depending on where they price it. If it's strictly a corporate event, and you could go that way. If you've had all these season tickets, you know, you could go that direction where you price it, whatever you want. But if they leave some of the arena open to your basic hockey fan, you could have that atmosphere more.
I hope they
make it affordable.
Oh, I hope all the people, and who it's going to take a bite out of, unfortunately, is the Utah Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll move, I would assume.
Who have been a staple here and have done a great job and have been an awesome organization. And well, I know a lot of people have come through it.
And kept that building afloat.
Which
I really like that building.
I agree with you. The Grizzlies have a very proud history here. And I know they've even dropped a league recently in the last 20 years. I get it. It's not perfect. They're going to lose a huge chunk of their audience if they don't move altogether. You're right. And I hope those fans that have been diehard Grizzlies fans, because those people exist, I hope they aren't priced out of following the Utah Hockey Club.
Oh, some of them will be for sure.
Some of them will be.
For
but
sure.
I hope that environment of that ruckus crowd follows them and kind of inspires that culture. Because you know what? RSL games are more ruckus than Jazz games, especially if you're in that south side of the stadium where all the drums are and all the smoke is and all the fans are. That's kind of the loud part. That's fun. And well, I hope we get some of that in hockey.
It's affordable.
Yeah, it's doable. It's doable.
Going to Real games is affordable. And not that the Jazz don't have their affordable, quote-unquote, seating, but it's not. I mean, it's very much a corporate kind of situation over there. I don't blame them. I don't want to come off too negative. I mean, it's just kind of how it is.
It's companies buying season tickets.
Yeah.
And then you take clients or you hand them out to people in your company and they're not going to go.
They're not leaning into the suite because they want Sarah and her husband to go.
Right.
The suites, that is. Yeah. Building more of those and yeah. that sort of thing. Which is unfortunate for your common fan, but probably better for the franchise.
From what I've heard about the arena and the plans that they want to do behind the scoreboards or the hockey goals, they want that to be rowdy areas of fans. They want that to be packed with fans, a certain type of fan that I think is probably not as conducive to the corporate crowd.
Well, that's where the Molson tent needs to be.
Yeah, right. Have the, yeah. The Molson Mile, whatever you want to call it in that corner.
Oh, brilliant. Trademark. Patent pending or whatever you're supposed to say.
So put that on the ads. Yeah.
I don't think we can actually trademark an existing trademark. I probably
can't steal that.
That probably
but
is.
That's what I imagine we're going to see is a desire to get the rowdier aspect on the behind the baskets.
I saw somebody bringing up what we're going to throw on the ice.
Okay. Do we have any front runners? Fry sauce? Jello?
I don't know. It gets weird. Like dead squirrels or something?
Dead
like
squirrels?
Rats are a thing in Florida? Is that right? Or somewhere?
Yeah. I like the octopus.
The octopus, that's in Detroit.
Harder to get octopus here.
Is it?
I don't know. How do you get them in Detroit? Do they have octopus in the Great Lakes?
You want an octopus, I'll get you an octopus.
Get you an octopus. I mean, you could find it.
Absolutely, you could find it.
Yeah, what are we going to throw?
I know the exact market I'd start at.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, we can run over there. The octopus sales in Utah are going to skyrocket.
How about deer legs?
Yeah, I was going to say whatever you don't eat, whatever you want to pull out of your freezer that you didn't finish from last year's hunt, just throw a
deer innards.
Throw a rib cage onto the ice. Antlers.
That's a lot of blood, though.
Impale
I don't
person.
Know if they want. I don't know. It's hard to clean off the ice, right? Bad message if you start the third period and there's like blood all over the
blood
ice.
Everywhere. That yeah. is hockey, though.
Not
blood
quite
on the
that.
Ice. No, I, not dead animals.
Not,
fish? We got a lot of fish. Rainbow trout.
Dead sheep around.
Oh, brine shrimp. Shrimp. We're going to be the shrimp place. The whole arena is going to smell like shrimp all the time.
You know how big brine shrimp are, right?
It's
I don't think that's
like
going to work.
Smell like the Great Salt Lake. Well, you got to get lots of them. You got to put them in a water balloon and you got to whip it on there.
I think the message might be lost.
Well, I'm just
those
spitballing here.
Brine shrimp.
I'm spitballing
balloons
here.
There.
It's just probably going to be fish.
Well, we don't have to follow suit. Like, we could create something else. I mean, do we have to throw something dead onto the ice?
You want something live?
Oh, threw a bear on there.
Bunch of raccoons?
That would just create chaos.
Yeah, it would. Anything live is going to be more difficult than it's worth.
Live tiger. Letting it loose.
How do they do on ice?
Probably less dangerous, I'm guessing.
We've got a problem. The good news and the bad news. Bad news is there's a live tiger on the ice. Good news is they're not all that adept at walking on the ice, so it's kind of funny to watch. No idea how to get them off.
Didn't really think this through.
Someone put a Siberian tiger on there, and he knows exactly
what
to
man,
do on the ice.
He knows what he's doing.
He's
We're in real trouble.
Trouble, because that guy is all over the place.
Stay tuned. We'll have more Jake and Ben coming up next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Get the official debit cards of the Utah Jazz, University of Utah Sports, RSL, and more exclusively at America First Credit Union. Ben, can I ask you, why does everyone, and more specifically NBA players, hate Rudy Gobert? Why? The players, the anonymous vote came out with the players, and Rudy, when asked, who's the league's most overrated player? Rudy got 13.6% of the vote.
Which is a lot. Who is number two?
Jordan Poole at 8.6%, where he is probably the answer.
He stinks. Yeah, Jordan Poole stinks and is also unliked, right? The Warriors didn't like him. We're happy to move on from him. He's become a joke in Washington.
Trae Young at 7.4%, great candidate.
But like Rudy, of those guys, like Rudy actually impacts winning at a really high level. There's proof of it. He wins Defensive Player of the Year. Players even vote for him as the best defensive player pretty regularly because they do these fan votes or these player votes, excuse me, these kind of polls behind the scene. Everyone knows what Rudy does well. It is funny that he still gets voted as the most overrated. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's already locked that up.
See, I'm convinced it's because players don't like him.
And that is the thing. So, Rudy is unlikable.
Is it because he gets attention for untraditional things? Like, is there a little jelly in there? Like with Shaq. Now, Shaq criticizing bigs modern day is super jealous because Shaq thought he was the greatest ever and nobody can compare and all this sort of thing. But, like, are players like Rudy, Defensive Player of the Year? He stinks. Why does he get all that attention? Why does he get that huge contract? You know, like, I think there is some of that.
I think there's a lot of weird things with Rudy Gobert. I actually got into it with some Jazz fans over the weekend on Twitter. I probably shouldn't have. About this kind of weird misnomer of the difference between Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, where a lot of people think Donovan was this like bad guy, evil guy, or that nobody had Rudy's back. Like they're trying to separate the two, like, oh, you got to be Team Rudy or Team Donovan, which I think is a myth. Like you don't have to do that. You can like both of your former players. And it kind of cropped up because I think a lot of people are rooting against Donovan in Cleveland and rooting for Rudy in Minnesota. And I think that's where the angst came from. Here's what I do trust. Even though you and I know Rudy, we've had unique interactions with Rudy. We experienced the entire Rudy thing from very beginning to the end of his time in Utah. Like, we were both covering it from day one in Utah to the last day in Utah. I do trust that all the players in the NBA don't like Rudy for some reason. And I will say this, it's a little crazy to be like, no, they're all wrong and I know better. Right? Am I crazy to say that?
No.
Like, if you go to a work, you get a new job, and everybody is like, this dude, watch out for him. Bad news, you don't like him. And you're like, oh man, we had lunch together. I really enjoyed him. I thought he was a nice guy, but everyone's like, don't trust this guy. Weird guy, don't have to like him. And by the way, that's not what they're saying about Rudy. I'm painting this as a hyperbole. You should trust some of the people when this whole group has a similar opinion about this one person. That doesn't mean don't give the person a chance, but recognize, like, there must be something there that's a reason why everyone doesn't like Rudy Gobert. So I've always kept some of that in my pocket, even though I've never had anything but very good interactions with Rudy Gobert in my life. I've seen his ups and downs. I've seen the bad part of Rudy. I've seen the good part of Rudy. He is very weird. He's a natural outsider. In fact, he had a big story in the Players Tribune about having a black father, a white mom, family that didn't want, his mom's white family did not want Rudy around because he was mixed race and they did not want him coming to Christmas. So his mom left the family so she could take care of Rudy. Like, he's got that aspect of his life, which I think really affected him. He's 7 feet tall, which makes you a natural outsider. He's a kind of a strange person. We know he's a conspiracy theorist. Like, he's got a bunch of things that put him on the outside of the traditional majority that probably make him not fit in. And I think that is all circled in here. But also, I think Rudy grates on people. Like, Rudy is hard to be around for people. I know he was at times in Utah. I know his teammates felt that way, and they still backed him up. And he was still the guy who, after his teammates had his back and defended him, what did he say in press conferences? I want the ball more. I want more shots. I will tell you, I think I've said this on the air before, some of the things I've heard behind the scenes were Rudy's teammates did not like that he did not work harder offensively in the offseason and in practice to get better. There were some real criticisms that Rudy was not as focused on that side of the ball at actually getting better beyond, oh, the Jazz didn't want him to take jump shots. Beyond, like, Rudy actually didn't work that hard at some things the way that you would want him to. I have heard that that was a complaint from people behind the scenes.
Sure. And I don't disagree with any of that. I think it all plays into it. Can I throw a hot take at you, though, that I've had for a while? I don't think that NBA players really have any idea what goes into winning NBA basketball.
I think there is a part of that.
I think the way that they evaluate talent is misguided. See LeBron James, who is literally making the moves for the Lakers, and he looked at Russell Westbrook and said, oh man, that guy, I've seen Russell bust it a million times, and he doesn't play winning basketball, certainly not alongside LeBron James. But I don't think the players think that Rudy is very good, because I don't necessarily think they're good at evaluating what very good is. I think a lot of players would tell you that Kyrie Irving is the best basketball player in the league.
If you were to take a poll of the five best players in the NBA, Kyrie would get a much higher share than you would think.
Way higher
than fans would,
right,
and coaches would.
Exactly.
Way higher.
Because players value that one-on-one stuff.
He is so skilled. It is crazy how skilled he is. And I think when you're that close to it, you respect, like, he's your favorite player's favorite player. And I think some of that bleeds into it versus, you're right, are you actually winning games?
Right. Well, let's take LeBron himself. Who was the player? This was like a month ago. God, who was it who said on a podcast that LeBron doesn't have any wiggle, that he's made a career out of just running people over on his way to the hoop? Who was it, Ben? It wasn't Redick. It was somebody else.
It could have been like...
It was like Matt Barnes or somebody like that.
Could have been Barnes or Steven Jackson. They
somebody
both have
with
player
a,
podcasts.
But a former player said... You know, LeBron isn't the greatest. I think they were talking about LeBron v. Michael Jordan or whatever. And it was like, he doesn't have any wiggle. He just mainlines it to the hoop. And since he's the size of a Durant freight train, it's really effective. You know? Like, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But who wins more? Kyrie Irving, who is the most skilled basketball player on the planet. Skilled. Probably win any one-on-one matchup he plays. I mean, just absolutely skilled. Who wins more? LeBron by a mile, because you know what? Unique, run the player over and dunk. has been working since the dawn of time, and it requires next to no skill. But you know what it does? It wins.
I think Shaq has more skill than he gets credit for.
I do
but
not.
But what was he best at?
Running people over and dunking.
Unstoppable.
Yeah.
Unstoppable. 300 pounds, had a spin move that was so fast it was crazy, and could jump out of the gym. He was and so strong. It was unstoppable. He's the best basketball player I have ever seen. He's not the most talented. But Shaq
but dominant,
in his prime was nothing like it. I've still never seen anything like it. He's not as skilled as LeBron. He's not as skilled as Michael. Any of these guys. Might not have been a top 100 skill player in the NBA. Unreal talent, because you could not stop him. So yes, to that point, I think you're right.
Even evaluating themselves, James Harden doesn't play winning basketball. And now, interestingly enough, he's playing more winning basketball, but he had to wash out of three markets to get that into his skull.
And we'll see. I'm not going to overrate
another
we'll game one.
Like, I don't think Luka Doncic plays winning basketball. I don't think Trae Young plays winning basketball.
Yeah.
But their peers, and maybe not Trae Young because he made this list, their peers will look at them and go, my Lanta, if only I could be that skilled. And it's true. They're super skilled. But I don't think players really have a great concept, and maybe fans don't either. And we all probably read too much into box scores and that sort of thing and value that, including NBA front offices. You know, when Jabari Parker said, you know, they don't pay me to play defense, he was right.
Yeah.
Because you get paid on your numbers and all those sorts of things. But that doesn't mean that that's winning basketball. Right?
Absolutely.
So I don't think players, I think players look at Rudy and how goofy he is and how lack of skilled he is offensively and say, that guy sucks. But if you watch Rudy game in and game out, it's evident that he does not suck when it comes to winning basketball because he's so good defensively. There's not another player in the league who can one man guard a pick and roll.
Right.
It's hilarious to me.
He is worth two players defensively.
It's hilarious to me to see the NBA notice that. Like, who was it that noticed his mid-range defense the other night? Anyway.
Yeah.
He's always been good at that stuff. He's always been really long and making himself big, and all of a sudden he's both rolling and fighting through the screen at the same time. There's nobody else who could do that.
Yeah, Rudy has started 55 playoff games.
But no player ever looks at the way he guards at the pick and roll and goes, well, that guy's awesome. They don't. They don't value that.
Rudy's 31 years old. He started 55 playoff games. Could be more if the Jazz had more success. And look, that's an issue where I think Rudy has taken some criticism as well. Fair or not, we will see how deep the Timberwolves go in this playoff
run.
Well,
he is limited. He is limited offensively. He is limited.
55 playoff games is a ton.
It's a lot.
That's a ton.
Lowry hasn't played one.
Right. I bet you there aren't 15 players in the NBA under 31 years old who have played more playoff games
than
Rudy Gobert.
That's probably true.
Because his teams win. Because Rudy gets you to winning.
He gets you to the playoffs, for sure.
He gets you to the playoffs. He can get you there. Now, yeah, what do you do from there is a big question.
Well, what was Minnesota before Rudy got there? Like, 8 seed, didn't they get beat in the first round the year before? And, yeah, it took a year to click. But, man, they were tied for the best record in the league, or one game back, right?
Yeah.
And the best record in the West.
Right.
Third best record in the league.
Yeah.
He makes an impact. Now, we'll see, because he is limited. You can scheme him out of a playoff series. That's been his Achilles heel, and that is true.
We'll see if the Suns can do it this year. Yeah, that's always going to be the knock on Rudy.
I don't think the Suns are going to do it.
I don't think the Suns are going to do it. We'll see what happens in the second round.
Right.
Also, yeah, we still, overall, a lot of people just underrate how important it is to be 7 feet tall in the NBA. And it's the thing I always go back to. When you're playing pickup basketball, you ever play with someone who's really tall, stronger than everybody? You make the comparison, you playing with hands. You're probably a better basketball player than Hans Olsen. You're probably more skilled than he is. You are not 6'5", 240 pounds, who can stand under the basket and lift the ball over his head and you can't touch it. So that's a big deal. Nikola Jokic is unbelievably skilled. The best part about Nikola Jokic is that he's 7 feet tall and unbelievably skilled. Not just that he has great skill. It's that he's that tall and has that skill. That's the advantage. Joel Embiid, really skilled. Best advantage is that he's 7 feet tall. Being that big with those assets is what make them so special. And Rudy Gobert is that big.
My celebrity buddy, Igor, he's like 6'6 in all arms. Far from an athlete. But man, he was like the first pick every pickup game because the dude dominated.
Right.
Because he was so big and long.
Can you rebound and put the ball back up?
You better believe he can.
I like having you on my team. Rudy does that. He's big. He gets baskets. Who else on this list? Do you have the list still in front of
you? Yeah. Give me a second here. So Poole, we mentioned at 8.6%, the next highest. Then Trae Young, 7.4%. Dylan Brooks, 4.9%. James Harden, 4.9%. Bradley Beal, 3.7%. John Collins at 3.7%. And Tyrese Halliburton at 3.7%. I don't get the Halliburton one.
He had a bad second half of the year after he hurt his hamstring and then was really bad in the playoffs or their game one. But again,
he doesn't guard anybody. Maybe that's...
He doesn't guard anyone.
Yeah.
I think the pendulum's starting to swing on John a little bit. John is not a perfect player. He's a square peg in a round hole in a lot of ways. And no one's really figured out how to use him. And a smart coach will get something out of John Collins.
Oh, I think Will Hardy got something out of John Collins. Can I give you a take that is going to sound mean and I don't really mean it to be, but he was never good enough to be overrated. Like, he's the definition of overrated. Like, he was never that good as he got the rep for a couple of years in Atlanta. Because he got that big contract coming off a kind of big year where Atlanta wasn't that good.
20-10 on a 24-win team.
Right. And so people, I think, that say he's overrated now are picturing that John Collins, which was never that good. The John Collins the Jazz got was a really good player and a benefit to the team. But even the player they got wasn't as good as how he was perceived in Atlanta. Thus, I think people will call him overrated, but I don't think that year was reality.
His contract certainly hurts the image of John Collins. Where if he was making $13 million a year, which is probably what he's worth, the full mid-level exception, people would be like, oh yeah, it's a good player. But he's hard at $25 million.
And he wasn't playing the right position. He's Draymond. I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer. He's an undersized five that will guard above his weight and that will either roll to the rim and get an easy dunk because he's a great finisher or is proficient enough from the three to spread the floor and make others more effective.
Yeah. I think that's very fair.
That's his role.
I think that's very fair.
I don't know if he's good enough that you want to make him like a Draymond where like this is going to be the lineup we're going to go with. But if you can get 20 minutes a game of that, I think that's pretty good. And I think that's his role.
I agree with you. And I think somebody will figure out a way to win at a high level with John Collins on their rotation.
Right.
Well,
I agree.
I don't know. And I know Trae Young has been to the conference finals as the best player on a Hawks team, ironically, that also featured John Collins. I think that's probably less replicable with Trae Young going forward than it is like John Collins is a good role player on a conference finals team.
And you know what? 2021 was kind of not real. Like the bubble definitely was not real. 2021 was a little...
Oh, we've absolutely learned.
Was a little wonky too.
Jazz finished with the best record in the NBA. Suns make the finals. Bucks win the finals. None of those teams have repeated even remotely close to that same success.
Yeah.
No one's even gotten close to that same success.
Remember, it was a truncated season. It was a fast season. Half the league didn't have fans for like three quarters of the season.
And some of the contenders from the year before were tired because they played until October and then the season started in December.
Right.
It was 65 days off.
It was weird.
It was bizarre.
And Atlanta certainly wasn't that good.
No. So, and remember, they ran into the Knicks in the first round, if I remember correctly, before the Knicks were any good. And we'll see if the Knicks are good, you know, but
yeah,
they're more talented now.
Yeah, that's why New York hates Trae Young, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then they ran into the quickly disintegrating Philadelphia 76ers because Ben Simmons decided that he hated the paint. He hated layups. They just caught these two funny teams at this really bizarre time in their histories, and they kind of split the gap. They split the middle.
That was never real.
So,
want to remind you,
interesting list.
Join Hanson Scotty from noon to three at My Hearing Centers. This is tomorrow, 8941 South, 700 East. Go see those two guys, those two characters.
Talk hockey.
Oh, they'll talk some hockey with you. All right, stay tuned. More next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Ben, this year, these types of stories are really in the weeds, but they make a big difference. Andrew Marchand, I think he's New York Post sports media reporter. ESPN and TNT Sports are working hard to retain the rights, speaking of the NBA, while the NBA plans to add at least one more package with Amazon and NBC interested. The exclusive negotiation deadline for ESPN and TNT is midnight tonight. There is progress, but no deal yet.
As an NBC affiliate, rooting for NBC, because I would love to bring back the NBA on NBC.
You just like the theme song, like everybody else.
You're right. That's exactly right. I read this morning that there's reports that they might have playoff games on Amazon. Now, look, that's not as big a deal as some people make it out to be. Like, there's already... Like, tonight's Cavs game is on NBA TV. Not everyone has NBA TV.
There's inventory, you're saying.
There's inventory. Even in the playoffs, there's inventory. Now, they were saying conference finals. I would be stunned if the NBA made that jump. Overlapping playoff games, fine. The third worst game of a three-game playoff slate, fine. Put that on Amazon. I'd be surprised if the league was really willing to go full-out Amazon. But if they want to pay quadruple the price for something, which the NBA is in... a money grab situation right now. They are opening up their doors to potential ownership with some of the same people who are running the LIV Tour, which is very controversial. They have said that they would approve some of that, where in the past they wouldn't. They are all in on gambling. And if they're all in on Amazon, they are just trying to make as much money as they can right now for their billionaire owners. And so maybe I shouldn't rule it out because they're doing things they haven't done in the past. But I would hope that's not the case.
Can I tell you, I view it a little differently, or at least I'm concerned for a little different reason. I'm a little concerned that this is a Pac-12 situation where, listen, last time these media rights came up with ESPN and TNT, Ben, there was no negotiation. There was nobody else involved. TNT and ESPN just rubber stamped it and said, we cannot lose this. We'll give
whatever
you want.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case with the NBA anymore. And so I think the NBA might be acting a little greedily because they're expecting this big-time bump in TV money that the mouse and TNT might be balking at, because that's the only reason to do this is you're carving off new inventory because you're not going to get what you're asking for the exclusivity. Now, the NFL has made it work because they're so valuable, they can tell their media partners saying, listen, you'll get what we give you, and you'll like it, and you'll pay whatever you want for it. And we're going to get other people involved on Thursday because we have the power to do that. I don't think that's the NBA. So I'm a little I would hate to see them overplay their hand, lose TNT and ESPN, and end up on NBC and Amazon exclusively, because I think that that would be a disaster, which is exactly what happened to the Pac-12, where they way overvalued themselves. And then the mouse and Fox just said, okay. The mouse said, well, we're not going to give you anything because you're being unreasonable. And Fox said, we'll just take what we want from you and then tell you to get bent. Now, nothing like that's going to happen in the NBA, different scenario, but like, it's not a no-brainer for TNT and ESPN just to give the NBA what they, everything they want anymore. And now it feels to me like the NBA is like, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll go. We'll go. And it feels like a negotiating tactic to me.
The TNT has never been all the way in on sports of any kind.
Nope.
They have NHL. They have NBA. They have baseball. And Ted Turner was a part of that, obviously. But like, do they stop after the second round? They don't do conference finals, right? The NBA. They don't do. I think ESPN owns all the conference finals games.
I think you're right, and the finals.
I think they only do the first and second rounds, and then they bow out. So they're not like investing at the highest level to get the finals games and the conference finals games. So they've never been fully all in on, hey, we'll pay whatever it costs to get the NBA. And I think the big situation here is really what you're talking about is ESPN is such a nightmare right now. It is such a wreck what is going on over there that not having them as the big player just loops everybody in. It just makes everybody else a more viable option because in the past, it was the worldwide leader in sports. No question, ESPN would have done whatever they had to. Disney was happy to pay the money. They just aren't anymore. They just don't have the money. They don't have the stability going forward. They don't know what the future is going to look like. So they are not cutting blank checks, which is probably part of the reason why they got themselves in trouble in the first place, was they were just saying, whatever it takes, we're going to have them. And Disney thought they were going to have endless money and have run into a lot of issues over the last 10 years. So that's the big issue of why we are ever even remotely talking about either NBC getting back into the NBA or Amazon having a bite.
I know Disney has become a strangely political company. Mm-hmm. But Disney as a whole is not doing very well because nobody who's trying to transition into streaming is doing very well.
Nope.
And there's a new business model that's out there that nobody has figured out. And Disney had the most to lose and has. Combine that with they haven't had a hit movie in 3 years.
They haven't had a Frozen again, where every year they were having a Frozen for a while, felt like.
Yeah.
Printing money.
And they really haven't had that. They've had a CEO that stepped down, and then the new CEO failed miserably, and then the old CEO came back, and now they're looking for another CEO to take over again. I mean, like, as a company, they're in bad shape. Mm-hmm. They're trying desperately to spin off ESPN. If you've seen those rumors that the NFL would buy into ESPN or buy ESPN from Disney, like, I'm just trying to kind of back up your point that the blank check that the NFL got 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that doesn't exist. That's not going to be a thing for the NBA. And I'm worried the NBA is over. They need to have a more realistic idea of what their value is and understand that getting banished to Amazon is not going to be good. I know streaming, we're still trying to figure it out, but I don't think going to Apple is good for Major League Soccer, certainly exclusively. And I know we're trying to figure out streaming, but going exclusively to Amazon, we'll do it. We'll do it. I don't think that's a good thing.
I think right now Amazon is the person you invite to the conversation to scare the rest to pay out.
That's exactly. But what happens when they say, "All right, enjoy"?
Yeah, that's the that's the question: is what happens when Amazon wins? Now, Amazon.
What did ESPN do to the Pac-12?
Right. Yeah. Which,
okay.
Okay. Goodbye.
See ya.
Thanks, Klyavkov. Take it easy.
It was that professor at the U.
Let's show them.
We've got a professor at the U that says we're worth three times this amount of money.
Oh. Well, we're not in that business anymore.
All right.
Amazon is making a huge investment. They bought all the Bally broadcasts, or a lot of them. So Amazon is trying to do the sports thing. And maybe they will be the first streamer to fully get it right. Everybody has Amazon Prime, and because everybody has Amazon Prime, they've got the Amazon channel. And maybe that makes it more accessible and easier to do.
But not everybody has Amazon Prime.
But not everybody
does.
That's
the problem.
You're right. And not everyone knows that that's where you can find it.
Right.
Again, the accidental viewer is still a huge thing. So I'm not sure if Amazon's actually going to get a piece of the pie or not. I don't have a problem with it. I've watched NFL games on Amazon. It's easy for me. But I don't think it's the ideal situation. The ideal is stay with ESPN, TNT, NBC.
171.8 million Prime members.
Yeah, it's a decent number.
No, it's a lot.
It's a decent number.
But how many of those are watching TV? And then how many of those are watching sports?
Yeah. Also, you can share Prime.
You can share, yeah.
Like, there could be more than just that who have access to Prime.
Who have eyeballs on it.
But I'm telling you, my widow neighbor that uses Amazon Prime to get goods to her front door.
Isn't logging on to her Apple TV.
No, yeah. isn't using Amazon for TV at all.
Yeah. So, no, I'll be curious what happens tonight if they get this deal done.
But that does feel a little bit like Larry Scott, doesn't it? Like, well, we'll get all these bidders involved. They're going to bid it up. We're worth zillions.
It's
like, actually, you weren't.
It's a volatile and ever-changing landscape, certainly.
Stay tuned. Hans and Scotty G are coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's Jake and Ben. We want to remind you about our good friends at Peach Doors and Windows.
Remake your home. Don't move.
Don't move. You've got a great interest rate. Why would you go anywhere?
You love your house. You just don't love the views.
Give them a call today. Free and home estimate, 801-566-1255. It's Peach Doors and Windows. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.